Welcome to the Other Worlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 70. I am joined today by Melified and Alien Pickle. What's going on, guys?
Hey, it's Melified. Doing great. Just trying to stay cool here in Texas. We're on month two of 100 plus temperatures. So,
We installed those big fans there for the electric grid. Doesn't that cool it off? Because they blow all the time, right?
Right. Yeah, you'd think. But no, sadly not. Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think that's how that works.
Okay. What are you doing today, Alien Pickle?
I'm all right.
What have you been playing lately?
Playing a lot of No Man's Sky lately, actually.
Why is that?
Yeah, we'll be talking about the big update that the game got here shortly.
Yeah, which is still buggy as heck. I'm finding the buggity bugs. Like, you put rooms in your ship, you turn around and they've disappeared, and you can fall through your ship into space.
Yeah, they've put out a few patches. They've put out a few patches already to try and address that, but
I think the saga continues. Like, I had, I do not at all like what they did with the farming on the ships, because it used to be you could make big rooms, right, an empty room, just by placing room tiles next to each other, and then you end up with, you know, like, I have a basketball court sized empty room on my ship. You can't do that anymore. Now it's all hallways and corridors and whatever. So whenever you do the gardening, though, it will make a big empty room if you contiguously join them. But the plants will not grow unless they're touching a tile that has a door.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, you could build like a 4x4 room and be fine on the outer ring of tiles, but then the four tiles in the center won't grow. It's bonkers.
How odd.
Yeah, so I've turned my farm from being a big square room that was full of those, because you would build just like in a regular base. You put those hydroponic trays in the room as furniture. Well, you can't do that anymore, because that's just not a placeable object. It's been replaced by the room itself, right? But now the room has to be like a straight corridor, and it has to have another kind of room on the other side. So what I did is I built like a long hallway that was all my storage bin rooms. And then on the left and right side of that, to meet the adjacency thing, then I put like a row of farm rooms down. So it's dumb. I'm not a fan.
That's intentional. I think that seems like a weird.
I think it's not intentional, but they need to like revisit that or something. People got tickets open on it already. It's like, well, I looked in the Reddit and it was like, yeah, nobody's real cool with that.
Well, it's good to see though that they're still continuing to put out content for it. So I'm glad it's at least an active developed game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If we could just get, this game and the Empyrean space survival thing merged together somehow, then we've got the right game.
Yeah. Well, game that is not in active development, it would seem, anymore, is Star Wars Knights of the Republic Remake. It has been delayed indefinitely, says Rumor. I'm not surprised by this. I think a lot of these things just don't surprise me anymore. And I'm honestly, this was a remake that I was not really like asking for.
But, I wouldn't mind a remake, but they were not making a remake. They were reimagining it, you know, and that's the part that didn't do much for me.
Right, because they everything loves to conflate out like words, because they call it a remake when it's really it is a reimagining. Remasters, I think, are the better terminology to use, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like, okay, we're gonna remaster this, but we're gonna change the story and the characters, and maybe it had us elves in it now.
Well,
Wookiees have eye stalks. You know, some changes were made.
Right.
Yeah, and more of the same vein. We'll try and get some of the negative out of here if we can. It looks like Ubisoft cancels several of its games, including a new Ghost Recon Frontline game and a Splinter Cell VR game.
Because NFTs working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Square Enix is still going hard on NFTs, though. They haven't learned yet.
Yeah, I haven't read much up into that yet, but that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because NFTs are basically no frickin' thanks. That's what the community has decided the term means.
And we'll get some of the, I guess, the Rockstar news out of the way. We'll do the bad and follow it with the good, but Red Dead Online is essentially dead now. I guess a bunch of fans held an in-game funeral for it. Yeah, and it sucks, too, considering that GTA Online seems to have gotten one of the biggest updates of positivity ever, but more in the bad news realm, though, is GTA 4 and Red Dead Redemption, original Red Dead Redemption remasters are reportedly being canceled as well, which is not surprised there, considering how well their trilogy remaster that they did was just terrible. A lot of people complained pretty hard about that. So not surprised there, but Rockstar did launch their GTA Online updates with a huge swath of quality of life improvements, which is probably good because in a lot of ways, a lot of these things that they have been doing is to drive more of their development to the next GTA game that they're trying to build right now. So, you know, cutting production or, you know, focus on some of these things here to help development there is probably good. And it's definitely been a huge good for GTA Online. I played for several hours last night with a group of friends. We were able to go around and do lots of deliveries and heists and all kinds of things without interference or annoyances from other players in the game. So that was a pretty good time. What else we got going on here?
Well, they've modified every not this cat and Stray into the Stray.
Which, speaking of which, Stray is the best user-reviewed Steam game for 2022 so far, so there's that.
Garfield as a character, or as the cat in Stray, so you can have that classic, you know, Garfield fat cat love lasagna experience, but then also the cat from Stray was modded back into Doom, so you could enjoy
Doomcat.
Doomcat. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, got some cultural attention.
You know what I haven't seen is Lion-O from Thundercats modded in.
Oh, that would be something.
Yeah.
That would be something. Well, speaking of animals and games, Goat Simulator 3 gets a release date and special edition, the pre-udder edition. The trailer for this was a little alarming, to say the least. I was a little disturbed by the imagery there. A big goat udders in your face. But Goat Simulator has always been kind of a great meme internet thing, and while not developed by the same,
doesn't take anything seriously, right? It's yeah, just over the top.
Well, goofy. Also, even though it wasn't developed by the same people, Goat of Duty was also a good time. So, you know, these games that are silly, getting, you know, more attention is fun because it just keeps gaming fun and silly. So
And I think we talked about this last news show, but just for anybody who might have missed it, there was no Goat Simulator 2. That's part of the joke, is that they went right to 3.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yeah, that's funny. Because that's where the debate came up of, like, was Goat of Duty developed by them, and it was not, which I find a little interesting.
A little shady, maybe.
Let's see here.
I wonder how many mobile goat games came out of China, because they always do like 20 clones of anything that looks mildly successful, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 2 modern ports launch in July of this year, so sometime this
month. They're out now, yeah.
Oh, out now, there we go.
Also buggy. Yep.
Yeah, well, and the first one was a classic in a lot of ways, an action RPG set in the Baldur's Gate, you know, sort of set world. And the second one, I think, wasn't as well received. So it's a little surprising to me they ported it, but I guess it's probably the same engine, so it wasn't too much more work.
Well, I kind of want to take a quick trip back to the GTA Online stuff, currently it looks like their peak for today was 190,000 players playing GTA Online because of all this stuff. So it's a nice little uptick in their people playing. So anyway, thought I'd point that out. But yeah, moving right along. Blizzard announced that they're putting the final patch out for Heroes of the Storm, or at least their final, not patch, but content support for it. They're still going to support for bug fixes and stuff like that, and they're going to keep it on life support like they do with StarCraft and StarCraft 2 and games like that, but they're not going to be putting out any new content for the game. So Heroes of the Storm, probably the one MOBA that I actually enjoyed the most of the MOBA genre. I had more fun playing that than most, so there is that. Let's see. They're remaking the game where Sherlock Holmes fights Cthulhu. So there's that.
That's the same Frogware is the developer that's done a lot of the recent Sherlock Holmes games, and this is one of their first ones, so they're going back and updating it.
It sounds like Marvel Comic Universe could pick that one right up.
Could be. Doctor Strange
just needs to join the Avengers, which I would support.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge Sherlock Holmes game fan. I mean, I've enjoyed the stories over the years, but it's not a game series that I have sought out to play.
Yeah. Now I saw that somebody made a Hercule Poirot game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hunt and peck adventure or something. So
ABC Mysteries. Wait, isn't it the Agatha Christie ABC Mysteries? Is that the title that you're thinking of? Okay.
I think so. It's like multiple cases with, you know, and I find him an interesting character anyway. I mean, it's just like Sherlock Holmes was like weaponized autism, and Cumberbatch did him pretty good actually on TV.
Hmm.
Yeah.
For a modern. Yeah. But yeah, Perot was kind of interesting. Although I will say that the recent Death on the Nile movie was terrible. Hmm. The Orient Express one was really good. The Death on the Nile is not.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, they over modernized it.
Mm.
Well, update news or addition news, the Dune Spice Wars games is getting another faction. They're adding in House Carino to the game, which will be a nice addition.
That's the Emperor's house, right?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I've actually been enjoying my time with Dune Spice Wars. I'd love to get a good game with a few of us sometime, but yeah, I've enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah, they added the multiplayer just recently, so I haven't actually got a chance to try it multiplayer.
Yeah, its mechanics take some getting used to because they're levels of odd complex, not good complex, but odd complex.
I was surprised whenever you like infiltrate the enemy with spies and stuff that you can't actually do much harm with them. You just kind of siphon, like, you're siphoning resources or hindering them a little bit, but it's not like, oh, I can actually assassinate that character that he's got or anything like that, right?
Yeah, it's poor. It's the your spy network is also really more part of the economy. You're gathering resources that way to get influence and stuff like that.
It's kind of off-world trading company with a little RTS light thrown on top.
But not as quick. You know, it's very much
That's always been my problem with off-world trading company was like, you got to be fast on the decision stuff, or things get out of control real quick. But that game slowed down to about a tenth of the speed would probably be boring but manageable. Street Bets in space.
In more of kind of a mobile game news, Zynga's new free-to-play Star Wars game has been delayed again. It was Star Wars Hunters. Man, I haven't heard about this thing in so long. But they are delaying the game once again. It looks like it's supposed to be on Switch and mobile devices sometime in 2023. But okay, good for it. I wasn't really looking forward to this one. It's just like, oh, hey, look, another Star Wars game. I forgot all about it.
I was like, I read this and I was like, wait, there was a Zynga Star Wars game? When did that happen? Was I just passed out that day or something? Because I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, you probably were passed out, yeah. Let's see. Into the Breach Advanced Edition is now available. So if you like,
this is a free update for this game, which is pretty cool because Into the Breach was very well received and respected.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. I've enjoyed my little time with it, but I need to actually play through more of it. What else we got here? Oh, Lollipop Chainsaw Remake officially announced. You know, because again, we need more remakes and more remasters. But
I'm surprised that's not out yet. I thought it was supposed to be like out quickly.
It's saying that it's coming sometime in 2023, so we should see something with it, next year. So if you're a fan of Lollipop Chainsaw, next year. And then there's another game here called Multiverses. Is this one out already? Oh, yeah. No, it's open beta July 26th. So, yeah, it's out already. Players in the closed beta have made the crossover fighter top more concurrent players than any other fighter on Steam's history. I don't know. I'm not huge into fighting games. Is anybody else interested in this one?
It's Warner Brothers characters, right? So you can have Animaniacs and Bugs Bunny fight Batman. Which, okay. I mean, I feel like Smash Brothers on the Nintendo side took care of it, right? That's great. But
yeah, and that's,
now everybody's coming out with a Smash Brothers clone.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them. Like, I think Nickelodeon has one or something like that. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but...
Okay, how about the obvious one, Marvel Comic Universe?
All right, yeah, Marvel versus Capcom or whatever it is. But like,
no, just straight up Marvel, right? Like, you have heroes and villains. There's a huge roster. Do it, or DC could do it. But see, this is the problem with the licensing thing because Warner Brothers owns Batman, but they don't own, you know, like Aquaman or any of the other super friends.
Well, they've done Injustice, right? Which is all DC stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a big weird, to your point though, there is a big weird licensing issue because Warner Brothers was selling NetherRealm and selling off the comic stuff, but not all of it. So it was super weird. I don't know that we ever got the full breakdown on what was going where in terms of all their intellectual property.
I don't know. I want the Tony Hawk and Batman crossover game. Bad.
Well, moving right along, I'm sure you've all played the game Among Us at this point. If you haven't, it's about a bunch of little space dudes trying to escape or be killed by a traitor among them. There is a funny little animation in the game is when someone dies, they essentially get cut in half and all that's left is their bottom half with a little bone sticking up out of the body. Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator, which is a mouthful of a game, has added that little, like bottom half body with the bone sticking out as one of the organ pieces that you can now get in that game. So a little crossover action there. It's a free update if you have that game, which I do not, because I don't need more simulators.
But you do, because it's on the Game Pass.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, moving to specifically with Xbox and PC stuff, we've got quite a few games in here. Grounded hits full release in September, which will be really exciting. I'm sure the three of us will probably get together and play the official release of that. We've had our fun with the pre-release, I guess, or whatever they call it on Xbox. But
Game preview,
yeah. What do they call it on Steam now, right? They call it Early Access. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. But there you go. And then two classic Elder Scroll RPGs are getting re-released in the Microsoft Store. Microsoft has been, you know, doing a lot of interesting things with their Bethesda purchase as of late. And I've noticed a few things popping up, like Wolfenstein Enemy Territory and Quake 4. But it looks like Xbox has announced that Elder Scrolls Legend Battlespire and Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard will be coming to the Microsoft Store via Xbox Insiders, just like those other ones that I announced. So,
oh, cool. They've been on Steam for like a year. So,
and they've been on GOG for like 10. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and the story is always the same. Like the free Steam version is somehow inferior to the GOG version.
Yeah. But,
you know, hey, in the case of Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall, though, if you get the freebie version of Daggerfall off of Steam and then smack that Daggerfall GL or whatever it's called, or not, it's Daggerfall Unity rather, on there, that's a pretty good time for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can't complain about the price for sure, and it definitely holds up to, you know, modern RPG gameplay, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
it's pretty decent. I'm surprised.
And more PlayStation games coming to PC news. Here's another one. A game that was exclusive for many years. I think it originally launched on the PS3, but you could get it on the PS4 and Vita, is a game called Hohokam, I think is the name of this. How you pronounce that?
I think so, yeah.
It's a cute little artsy looking game from what I've seen. I've never played it, but it is just another in a long list of games from PlayStation that are slowly, gradually making their way over to the PC.
Yeah, so yeah. We're getting Returnal of all things coming to PC.
Yeah, that's coming up in our PC section here in a minute. I'm of course can't find it at this moment. Where is it? Well, you know, there it is. Yeah, it's getting Steam Deck support, surprisingly, which for a you know, brand new game with modern, you know, high end graphics is kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you have in the notes about Evolve at all?
Yeah, we don't, but we talked about it on our last show, and we should definitely talk about it on this show. Evolve's 2K developer turned on their peer to peer servers again. So if you have Evolve Stage 2. You can play that, and if you bought the original Evolve on Steam, you can also play that as well. But if you did not buy it and you only had the free version of Evolve Stage 2, you can only play that one right now. So there you go. Hopefully, though, they'll turn the free thing back on. You can just pick it up for free. That's what 2K should do.
Just yeah.
Re-enable that free like, get me game, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, if they sold the cosmetics for... $1, right? Then there would be enough people give them money every month to pay for leaving that one server on that needs to be, and then they could just put the game back on Steam as a free download, and it'll take care of itself, and they might actually make some money, but they don't have to update it or anything. You know, it's just like, here's the agreement. This is back. We're never going to update it, so whatever. But yeah, Take-Two still owns the thing. So we're at their mercy. If it was Epic or something, then it would be different.
Yep.
The devs actually said, like, we'll go back and work on it if Take-Two will let us. We loved our game.
Nice.
Hmm.
So. Well, speaking of games that are still being worked on, Star Citizen got a new update recently that added increased server size. I think they've now increased it from 50 players to 100. And of course it had tons of little like server nodes everywhere. So they were trying to work on their server meshing, but it looks like instead of working on the server meshing, they worked on the player count. Reports have it that the frame rate is shockingly in a stable state, all things considered. So good for Star Citizen. Halo Infinite co-op campaign, is in the works of getting released here pretty soon, but it is not going to support matchmaking, which I didn't realize that co-op matchmaking was a thing. I always thought co-op was done with like friends where you like, hey, invite your friend. I didn't realize you could do a matchmaking co-op. So The fact
probably why they didn't spend a lot of time on it, right? Because it's like, who wants to join up with a rando for co-op?
Yeah, that's a little bizarre to me. So, but whatever. Yeah. There you go.
And if you lack friends, there's a Discord.
Discord at otherworlds.gg.
That's right.
Let's see here. Steam Deck reaches over 4,000 verified and playable games, and its performance will suffer in plus 95 degree temps, warns Valve, so don't be playing it out in the hot Arizona or Texas days.
Well, and that also applies to the Switch OLED as well, and Nintendo mentioned that, so it's not like it's unique to the Steam Deck by any means.
Right. It, by the way, if you're out in like blazing heat anyway, like why are you playing your game if you're outside like in the blazing heat? So
you don't even really need a game console if you're out in the heat, because you'll just start to hallucinate little cartoon characters running around.
That is true.
You're out there long enough. Yeah, for sure.
If you're fans of the Simpsons Hit and Run game, don't worry. A fan is single-handedly remastering that classic for you. So, if you are interested in that, go check that out. It's actually quite an interesting little remaster he's got going on here, but good for him.
Yeah, it looks like the cartoon from what I've seen of the screenshots. So, it's pretty impressive style-wise.
Which game is that?
Hit and Run?
The Simpsons Hit and Run, yeah.
Crazy.
Let's see, Warhammer 40,000 Battle Sectors new demonic update is now available. So if you are into the Battle Sectors, go get it. Go get the update. I don't really know much about this one, Melified. Are you well versed to talk about the Azure Strike Gun Vault 1, 2, and 3?
They are certainly well thought of. Games that, gosh, go back to
looks like
I'm trying to remember what system. Yeah, they're Nintendo. I'm trying to remember which system they came out on originally, but they're well received. They're kind of a what do you call it, like a
side scroller? Yeah,
side scrolling platformer. And so the 3 has never been ported in the West, so we're getting a translation of that, and then they're going back and releasing 1 and 2. And they'll be, you can get 1 and 2 on Steam currently as well, so.
Nice. In more interesting news, Discord is coming to Xbox consoles with full voice chat, which is good. Melified and I were talking at one point about, I think even in our last show, that you know, the cross play with voice chat with, you know, Windows and Xbox and stuff like that has been okay at best, not really the best thing in the world, but with so much going on with cross play and with so many things coming to the PC, and the ability to play with PC friends on a console and stuff like that, having more robust, secure, not necessarily secure, but more robust communication lines is going to be good. So having native support for Discord on the Xbox, I think, is going to actually be really well for gaming communities.
Yeah, I on a technical front, Microsoft's solution is super goofy. They do like a VPN tunnel to all the other players in the voice chat so that they can bypass restrictions on, you know, voice traffic. But it's kind of flaky in my experience, and can be very badly affected by, you know, certain types of security networks and firewalls and things like that. So Discord's, well,
I feel like at the point where you got to pull your phone out to join the Discord chat, you're already in a Discord chat on your phone, so just stay as it is, right? Because
yeah, I mean, that's true, but it'd be neat to be able to pull up Discord on the Xbox and do stuff that way too, I think. So
Yeah.
You know what would be really dope is push to talk for Xbox chat. In a way, everybody's not hot micing, because that's always been my beef with console voice chat, is everybody's hot mic all the time.
Mom, chocolate milk.
Yep.
Yeah, it can be kind of obnoxious. That's true.
Well, speaking of Xbox, Xbox Games with Gold will soon no longer include Xbox 360 titles. It's kind of not a surprise at this point. I think they've exhausted how many of those things they can give away for free. And I think at this point, most of us should probably already have the full inventory of 360 games anyway, if you've been playing along all this time.
That's true.
So, not a surprise there. So, good for them. The massive Skyrim co-op mod finally released and gets 90,000 downloads in 3 days. So it kind of goes to show you how much people really like their Skyrim and bringing their friends along with them. So there you go. It looks like the mod itself has been stress tested for 2 to 8 players. But the team does state that they have tested the mod with over 30 players on one server. The mod also only supports the latest patches of the Skyrim Special Edition and Anniversary Edition, meaning you will, unfortunately, will not be able to play Skyrim Very Special Edition online with your friends. Yes.
That may not be the end of the world, though. There's certainly plenty to still play at that point.
Of course, according to this article, at the time of the writing of this article, the mod had been downloaded over 130,000 times. Congratulations.
A lot of people to play with.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Rune Factory 5 is now available on PC. Any Rune Factory 5 fans in the audience here?
I liked 4. I haven't played 5 before, so it was a Switch exclusive, so it's neat to see it come to PC. That's not something we get to say a whole lot.
Hey, yeah. Well, we were talking about Nintendo just being Nintendo all the time, so it's kind of funny that, yeah, you're right, we don't really see a lot of that coming over from the Nintendo side. Bizarre biopunk shooter Rot Flesh gets major new update. I am not familiar with this.
I looked at it as, you know, when I was putting the show notes together and saw this article, and it's, you know, kind of an old school clunky, you know, style, but definitely looks funky, looks interesting, so...
Yeah, they call it a retro-inspired body horror FPS. Cool.
Yeah, I struggle with body horror stuff, so I'm a little nervous to give it a try, but...
if I want body horror, I just walk in the bathroom. look at the mirror.
Ooh, yeah, I hear you.
Well, one of Mellified's favorite RPGs, Solasta, Crown of the Magister, now available on Xbox and Game Pass.
Yeah, this I really enjoyed the main campaign for this. We had, I think, talked about my frustrations with some of the DLC, but I definitely think it's worth anybody who likes tabletop RPGs to give this one a shot. And, you know, if you have Game Pass, it's kind of a no-brainer, I think.
Well, longtime Star Wars The Old Republic creative director leaves. BioWare says it's committed to the game's future. And that's another one that I've been surprised with. Kind of like No Man's Sky, they've continued to put out content, really shift focus and gears on the game to help enable it to be more of a story-driven MMO where you can really get in and follow the story rather than do all the fetch questing nonsense grind crap. So there is that. So good for them. That game is now 11 years old, if you guys can believe that. So been around for a little bit now. And in interesting news, EVE Online's most notorious player has quit the game. Of no fault of his own, though, although he denies all the allegations. This is kind of a weird one.
Is that Mitani?
Mitani, Mittens himself, is leaving the
Mittens
game.
Mittens is quittens.
Yeah, if you want to know, if you want to know more about this, I recommend going and looking it up. It's kind of a disgusting accusation. I don't know if I really want to get into it on this show, but yeah. Goodbye, no, Mittens.
It's just the game extending out into reality, right? It's like, well, we can't beat him in the game, so we have to beat him in the real world.
It's not so much that. There's more nuance to that than that, but yes. So, anyway, gonna leave that one there. And then, moving right along, Ambitious... Oh, God, freaking Google Notes getting in my way. Ambitious mod Life of Crime brings a new single player experience to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Need to see single player, you know, community add-ons for a game like that.
It's
pretty neat.
It's really interesting because I don't think I've ever seen anything like this for Grand Theft Auto 5. So seeing community stuff for Red Dead Redemption 2 for single player is actually pretty neat. So there you go. There's a street racing game out there that's quickly getting a small fan base on Steam that is only $6. I don't even understand. How do you pronounce this?
I have no idea. Yeah, I can't help you there, unfortunately.
Can Jozoku game? K-A-N-J-O-Z-O-K-U. I apologize for butchering that to death. It feels like it's been plucked out of a 2000s video game store bargain bin. It's an old school arcade racing game that came out on Steam earlier this month for $6. So if you're into those kinds of things, go check it out. Fan-made sequel to Opposing Force features credited Half-Life voiceover actors. I didn't realize that there was a fan-made sequel to Opposing Force, so just learned something new today on that one. Isaac Kleiner and Colette Green return in Ardian Shepherd's latest adventure. That's pretty neat. Perhaps the runaway success of Black Mesa has skewed my thoughts on this, but I found myself paying a lot more attention to how the community is playing the Half-Life story of late, says the writer of this article. That is pretty cool. I'm actually glad to hear that people are still making mods and single player like expansions to games like that. So I'm gonna have to go check this out now that I know about it. I had no idea this was a thing, so. What else we got here?
Let's see. We have Power Wash Simulator's been kind of getting a lot of attention. I know a lot of people really seem to enjoy the sort of meditative gameplay of just hosing dirt off things and sort of the relaxing sound of the water flowing. Well, a writer at Nintendo Life pointed out that Mario actually gave us the power washing fantasy before it was cool, which is a kind of tongue-in-cheek reference to the old GameCube game, Super Mario Sunshine, where you had a water-powered jetpack, and a big part of the game was spraying down paint that was covering different parts of the Mushroom Kingdom. So I thought that was kind of clever.
All right, now
actually not the Mushroom Kingdom. It was a unique new location. Oh,
right, because it was a different island. You're right.
Like Sunshine Island or whatever it was called.
All right, so hear me out here. Mud-covered anime girls.
Oh boy.
Right. Like, when is that game coming? It's not on Steam yet. I can't believe it. Figure you get a super soaker and some professional mud wrestler honeys, and then you have to clean them up after their matches for their photo shoot or something. This game could happen. It will happen.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like you're right that probably exists somewhere, or if I would be shocked if it didn't, I guess.
Well, the creator of Fire Emblem has released a brand new strategy RPG on Steam. If you're into strategy RPGs and you like Fire Emblem, you should go definitely check this out. This one is called Vestiria Saga 2, I think, right?
Yes. Vestiria. Yes.
Very neat. Very neat indeed. Love to see it. All right, moving on to our retro section here. Let's see. A boatload of old ZX Spectrum games are released on Steam. I think we... Oh, no, this is something different. Look at that. Okay. I saw ZX, and for some reason, my mind went to Mega Man. If you remember the old top-down platformer Bounder released in 1985, how about platformer starring Monty Mall or anything else released by the British developers Gremlin Graphics for the ZX Spectrum? So there's a whole slew of these things. It looks like they're coming to Steam. I guess from the old like Commodore 64 days and stuff like that.
So yeah, that's yeah. Neat. This definitely goes back a fair ways. This was a big computer in the UK. I know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably more for our burgeoning British audience.
This one is a bit unique. Where is this from? So it's in Japan. New politician Ken Akamatsu creates task force to preserve classic games in a playable state. So this might not bode well for Nintendo. They might have to comply. So the newly minted politician has announced via Twitter the creation of a new task force to investigate and support the preservation of classic video games in a playable state. Well, that's pretty interesting. You don't see a lot of this stuff in politics, but it's pretty cool to see there's at least one out there who gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like we found our you know, new favorite politician on the show, because
don't know what else he supports, but at least I agree with him on that.
Yep, exactly.
I'm glad that the retro bars were able to finally get enough money together to hire a politician.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's right. Genesis Prince of Persia Remastered Edition, I guess, is getting a release here. I haven't played a lot of the classic Prince of Persia games, for like the one for the Genesis, for example. Are you guys pretty excited for this one? Malified, I'm looking at you more than anything.
Yeah, well, I you know, I remember these games, the early 2D Prince of Persia games, pretty fondly, and so I thought it was neat that somebody would take the time to go back and patch up the Genesis version to add, you know, some quality of life stuff and improvements. So,
well, tell us about some Mister updates.
Oh my gosh. So Mister, the arcade core for Outrun is in development. It's had a few setbacks. They've had some challenges getting it working, but it is still in progress. So we should see that pretty soon. The PlayStation core continues to get improvements and fixes, which is really putting it, you know, to the point where I think every game now runs on the Mister from the original PlayStation, and they're going through and fixing little bugs. The Mister also now supports the Gun 4 IR accessory, so you can do all your light gun games with that. And someone figured out there's an add-on for the Mister called TTY2 OLED, which provides like a little second screen on the Mister that can show information about the game you're playing. And there's now a color version of that supported, so you can do color images instead of just black and white. Somebody's got a new case coming called the Retro Frog case for the Mister that helps kind of package it up a little bit more nicely. The Cave arcade cores are coming. We're getting a new game, Hot Dog Storm, from that. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade port for Mister, is coming along. And finally, Mister now officially supports variable refresh rate, which means if you have a FreeSync or VRR enabled display on your Mister, the Mister will automatically adjust the frame rate with the display to give you perfect accuracy for your older games. Especially, this is a big deal for arcade titles that use like weird refresh rates and things. This may ensure that they play at the same like they would have in the original arcade. And we now have a Super Game Boy core. The Super Game Boy was an accessory for the Super NES that played Game Boy games and tried to add color and some other features to them. So it's neat to see this as a Mister core. And finally, we got a Tommy Tudor core for the Mister. This was a little home computer first released in Japan in 1982 targeting children. And so there's a lot of little classic kids games for this one that are now accessible again through the Mister. So that's a bevy of updates. Like we seem to get, you know, the Mister community is just seemingly on fire, always adding new features. A couple more retro updates. Breakers Collection is a classic fighting game series. They're doing a new collection that will have rollback netcode and crossplay, so that's pretty exciting. Konami is planning to relist some of the old Metal Gear games that they had to pull over some licensing issues, so we're going to get those back as well, which is pretty nice that people will still be able to play those classic titles.
Yeah, because GOG actually released some of them at one point, which I thought was quite fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What else we got here? So that'll do it for the retro news. And VR news, MetaQuest VR is dropping mandatory Facebook accounts finally. They've been talking about that for forever. So good on them.
Make a mandatory MetaQuest account, so now you have two accounts.
Sure, but you're not forced to link your Facebook identity to your Meta identity, which was the thing a lot of people were uncomfortable with because it allowed Facebook to harvest a ton of additional data about you and your friends and who plays games and all of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I figured that was their whole goal in acquiring the Oculus, right? Was to, you know, it's not like they're going to make money on it. They're going to make data on it.
Well, moving right along in the VR news, in modders being awesome as usual, Half-Life Incursion is a new mod for Half-Life Alyx that adds a one-hour campaign with wave-based combat and randomized enemy spawns. So that's pretty neat. I still need to finish Half-Life Alyx, but I have been liking it a lot so far. Mist update adds hand tracking support and more on the Quest. That's pretty neat. I've always loved the Mist games, and when they brought Mist to VR, it was like almost an instant buy as soon as I got it. I guess there's a hint at potentially adding in some co-op support potentially. So that could be an interesting thing to have. What fun that would be, especially if you're like, you know, showing your kids for the first time. And then by the time you hear this, it may be over. Of course, this was published 3 days ago, so you got 2 days left.
Yeah, this one was, I just more wanted to share it because of, you know, the rumor is that the story we just talked about Facebook having removed the account requirement is part of what led them to increase the price, because they're not going to be able to harvest as much information to sell about you. I suspect it also has to do with rising costs of components, because we've seen that happening across the board, really.
Moving right along to Nintendo news, Nintendo Wii U and 3DS eShops are shutting down in March of 2023, so you've got under a year now to go and grab all your eShop goodiness for those platforms before they say goodbye. Again, this is one of those things where I feel like Nintendo would have done better if they unified people's accounts. It would have just made life a lot simpler, because, again, on the Wii U, we had... what was it? The HD remasters of not just Wind Waker, but also Twilight Princess. And those are still nowhere to be found on the Switch. So, Nintendo, come on. In a random bit of news, there is a glitch that you can do for Zelda Breath of the Wild that lets you mod your weapons, and no hacks are required. So, that's kind of entertaining. It's funny how people find these things. I've always get impressed when people find these glitches and stuff like that in these games.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me. We're still finding glitches in Breath of the Wild, what, 5 years later, 6 years later?
Yeah, something like that for sure. And then in a piece of really cool news with Nintendo, there's this incredible Super NES manual archive that somebody's been putting together. There's a Twitch streamer and I guess they called him like a archivist as well. He's into, you know, preserving the legacy of gaming. He has put together a huge list of old Super Nintendo manuals that you can go and find off of archive.org. But the cool thing is he's got a great little website that lists them all, and then you can just click on the link and it'll take you to the archive.org page where you can actually go and peruse through all these old game manuals. So that is fun. Fun indeed. All right, moving on to PlayStation news. We have a little bit of everything this time. Last of Us 1 remake. Last of Us Part 1. Wow, I completely read all this wrong. Let me start that one all over. The Last of Us Part 1 images leak. No gameplay improvements, claims leaker. This is for the, I guess, the port going over to the PlayStation 5 and PC soon.
Yes.
So, and it seems that no more leaks have found their way into the internet. So, I guess no news is good news. I don't know. Naughty Dog says that The Last of Us Part 1 isn't a cash grab and defends the $70 price. So, sure, Naughty Dog.
I mean, anytime you have to say that, it probably doesn't bode well, right?
And then Persona 5 Royale has no upgrade option from PS4 to PS5. So this just kind of goes back to my argument. You know, I think Xbox has probably done the most good in this realm. But, you know, Nintendo and Sony have had such a hard time just moving from generation to generation and allowing people to play their older games. Or maybe even, like, you know, giving them, like, you know, it's what was it with Microsoft? The Xbox, they had, like, the upscaling and all that other stuff that they were doing for a lot of games. And, you know, they just does it natively, right? You know? But earlier this week, though, there was a rumor. We're going to move on to some cloud gaming news. Earlier this week, there was a rumor that said that by the end of summer, Google is going to be shutting down Stadia, and of course, Google comes out and denies the rumor that Stadia is shutting down. I really don't understand what the point of this platform is. I really hope it does shut down. Sorry to all you people who bought into it, but
I feel like there's a loophole in this, which is they could shut down the ability to buy new games. They could shut down the subscription service and still keep Stadia running as a commercial solution for other businesses who want to do cloud stuff. And so I kind of wonder if that's what they're not saying in this, but I guess we'll see. Time will tell.
We'll nab a few more of these interesting stories that we've got coming up here. According to Capcom, Capcom's revenue declines nearly 50% year over year. That's not good for Capcom. There's been rumors, though, floating around for a while that they were looking to be acquired, so I'm not sure what that means, but that should be interesting. Xbox Series X and S sold more than double the Xbox One in Japan already. So I don't know what that says about that, but I guess the Japanese are kind of leaning into Microsoft a little bit more. So good for them. We haven't had really a chance to talk about this, but Ubisoft is doing some really weird stuff with some of their games. They're delisting them. They're removing some of them. The wording and verbiage around all this is not really good. They later clarified that existing owners would still be able to play the games, but they certainly made it seem like they were actually going to completely remove them from people's libraries. That was kind of some of like the misunderstanding of the verbiage. It's not a good take either way, really.
Well, I think that was my thing, is that it sort of underlined the fact that we still have this sort of unresolved uncertainty around the digital ownership, and that, you know, these are some recent examples where it's a little sketchy. Like, you know, companies could just take the stuff away and you don't have a lot of recourse. So that's definitely makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. According to this news article, the PC industry suffers its worst decline in years, though it's no cause for alarm. Yeah, I would agree. I think because of the Steam Deck and stuff like that, there's actually going to be more interest and investment into PC stuff. But of course, the chip shortages are partially to blame for some of this stuff. But yeah, so there you go. Don't be alarmed. And
one of the things the article talks about is the fact that we had record PC sales the last couple of years because people were stuck at home mm-hmm. and potentially upgrading or buying their, buying themselves new computers.
So here's a bit of interesting news. Steam bans award logos and review scores and key art images. So, if you were to like look at a game and it would say like, it was Steam Festival best or winner of such and such award, that you're no longer going to be able to put that on, I think, the front page art.
On your basic like intro art. Interesting. I mean,
yeah, it is interesting considering that you can still go to like a brick and mortar store and find movies and stuff like that. That's like, winner of, or, you see some like independent film that's got like, winner of the blah, blah, blah award. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, let's end on a couple of funny ones here. See if we can't find a couple of funny stories to end on. Oh, we yes.
have a few good ones.
This one got me laughing pretty good. Doom Hacker gets Doom running in Doom. So for all of you out there who are always find the like, the smart TV can run Doom, or the alien computer that we found can run Doom, or whatever it is. Now you can run Doom and Doom. Hey man, I heard you like Doom, so I put Doom and Doom so you could Doom while you Doom.
Doomed. My head hurts.
Yeah, a little bit. But I kind of find that to be very entertaining that someone did that. So congratulations to that guy. What else we got here?
Let's see. We have someone remastered 1981's Ultima 1 with the graphics from 1985's Ultima 4. So, you can feel like you're playing a slightly less retro version of Ultima, I guess.
Oh, God, here we go. A very unfortunate Sims 4 bug is making Sims want to date their family. So if you're playing Sims Hillbilly Edition.
Well, does it only happens whenever one of them is doing the laundry, though.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
They get stuck in the dryer. It's a clipping issue.
Yeah, you got to help. I put this one in here towards the bottom. And it's a terrible podcast, but somebody did the Star Trek DS9 intro in the style of a Nintendo 64 game. So you can watch the little video clip and enjoy some very nostalgic what I guess Deep Space Nine would have looked like if we had got an N64 game for it.
That's fantastic. Oh, wow, that's really funny. And Deep Space Nine was probably one of my favorite Treks, too, from the 90s era Trek stuff. So that's pretty neat.
And you can see they did models of all the characters, so you can have the accurate headshots and things in the trailer. So,
all right, this is the one that we're going to end on. Forget the G Fuel collab. One of Twitch's most popular streamers is now doing artisanal mustard.
Dude, I don't understand why you're laughing. I like a good mustard.
You know what? I do too. Yeah. But what's awesome about this is fantastic. Like the label's got the guy's face on it. It almost looks like a Chef Boyardee thing going on here. Like, Oh my god! From an art style perspective, not design. From that kind of just like my face on a can of mustard or whatever it is. But that is fantastic. Oh, congratulations to that guy. Well, that'll do it for this week for the news. We're probably gonna be on a awkward schedule of releases for a little while longer because August is getting a little rough on the scheduling, but be sure to head on over to our Discord where we're always chatting, posting memes, sharing news, talking games, playing games. Discord.otherworlds.gg for all of this and more. This has been episode number 70, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.